Last week we talked about good news and bad news. It seems like the bad news outweighs the good news these days. And today we want to talk about good news, the good news. But first, another little story about, but I think this story also is about good news and bad news. Some soldiers were sitting on those wooden bleachers. When you were in basic training, anybody remember sitting on those wooden bleachers while the drill sergeant would, you know, give us instructions, you know? And there were some soldiers sitting on some wooden bleachers at Fort Benning in Georgia, attending a United States Army Airborne School in preparation for their first parachute jump. And soon they'd be soaring hundreds of feet above the red clay of Georgia, and they would hear their master jumper, or jump master, give out the orders, which went something like, stand up, hook up, check equipment, stand in the door, go, go, go. And they would jump out of the airplane. Now the drill sergeant at that day, the airborne sergeant that was giving instructions, he was talking that day about what should you do in the case that your parachute does not deploy. And he said to them, if your parachute fails to deploy, don't panic. Simply pull the handle of your auxiliary parachute. And if your auxiliary parachute does not work, if it fails to deploy, don't panic. Just pull it in towards you. It didn't fill up with air. Pull it in towards you. Vigorously throw it out again. And if, again, it doesn't deploy, don't panic. Just vigorously go through that process again. Then he stopped and he thought for a moment, looked intently at his class, and he said, and if, again, it fails to deploy, don't panic, because at that point, you will have the rest of your life to try to get that parachute to deploy. I didn't say it was funny, I just said it was annoying. You have to think about that later. Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, to the Roman church, and it was good news. It was truly good. It was good news about Jesus Christ. That, and this good news in Christ tells us that sin can be forgiven. We can be right with God. It tells us that selfishness can be overcome, and we can be filled with love. It tells us that guilt can be removed, and we can be justified. It tells us that anxieties can be calmed, and we can have peace. It tells us that life can be restored and made new. And it tells us that people can indeed have hope, now and for eternity. And we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. This is Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And we have in these verses the greatest summary ever given about this good news. It will declare the power of this good news, the purpose of this good news, the plan of this good news, and the product of this good news. So let's look at it. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. You pointed out last week that Paul kind of starts in a weird way here. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We said, well, why should he be ashamed? And we looked at some reasons last week why some people might be ashamed, and some people are ashamed to speak this message of Christ. Some people are ashamed to do that. I know there's this quote that goes something like, preach the word of God and sometimes use words, something to that effect. I understand the quote, and it's a good quote, and I agree with the quote. But at some point, you've got to say something. You can't just have your life be a witness. You've got to say something at some point. You know, people might say, you know, your life seems different. You know, what's going on in your life? Well, that's going to be an opportunity for you to explain things. Right? And so that we have to talk about this good news. And now that we know why some people are ashamed of this good news, which we looked at last week, the question is, why wasn't Paul ashamed of this? What did Paul know that other people perhaps don't know? I'm going to try to answer that question by looking at verses 16 and 17 today. So let's look at that. And the first thing we want to look at is the power of this good news, the power of the gospel, the power of this message. Again, Paul says, I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God at work. He's not ashamed because it's the power of God. Notice that he doesn't say this message has the power of God. He says this message is the power of God. Now that word power, and we're going to look at this a little bit too, because I mentioned to you before the New Testament was written in the Greek language. And sometimes we need a whole phrase to describe what we're trying to say, where the Greeks could do it with one word. They had different words that would express what they were trying to say. So for this word power, for instance, we're going to see that there's a couple of words that Paul could have used for this word power. But in order to say what he wanted to describe, what he was trying to describe, he uses a certain word. And the word that he uses here refers to the might, the energy, the force, the strength that dwells in God. This message is the power of God. Paul could use a different word. He could use the Greek word energia, from which we get our word, I would think, energy. But that particular word describes the process of energy. That's not the word that he uses. Instead, Paul uses the word dynamis, from which we get our word dynamite. Now, dynamite didn't exist at the time that Paul was writing this, so he wasn't thinking of dynamite. But what he was stressing was not so much the process of power, but the source of power. And that's what this word means. It's the source that he wanted to stress. And God is the source of our salvation. He saves through this good news message, but it has power because it's spoken in the power of God's Spirit. And it's God's power that's at work in this message. Because the message is God's Word. And God's Word is living. It's powerful, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. So God reveals His power against sin. And, you know, He could have done that any way He chose to do that. Right? I mean, He could have wiped us all off the face of the earth. He's God, right? He could do whatever He wanted to do. But isn't it a blessing that when the Lord moved to do something about our sin, He exercised His power by sending this good news of grace. You know what grace is, right? It's when God offers you a gift. It's unearned, it's unmerited, you don't deserve it, He just offers it to you. That's what grace is. And that's how He went about doing something about sin. And we all, you know, I know I'm using some words today that are not very popular anymore. You know, we don't like to hear sin. You know, people say, there's no such thing as sin. you don't want to hear it. But, you know, what sin is the wrong things that we do. It's when we know God wants us to do something, we don't do it. Or we know that God has a certain standard, but we don't reach that standard. God had to do something about that. When we're failing to reach his standard, he had to do something about that. He could have done anything he wanted to. But what he does is that he sends us his grace. And nowhere is the power of God more visible than in the good news of grace. Think about it. If God could take someone like me, who is lost and sinful, and I know we don't like that word lost either, but we'll talk about that too a little bit. If he could take someone like me and save me by his grace, make me a new creation, and that's a powerful thing. Powerful thing. God could have judged me. God could have sent me to hell. Another word we don't like these days. But that's not what God wants. God doesn't want anyone to be in hell. Instead, he chooses to send his love wrapped in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who, by the way, took hell for us. And I am so thankful that the Lord first loved us. Which it says in 1 John 4:19. God loved us first. Now I want you to notice something else about this passage. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel or the good news about Christ. It's the good news about Christ that we're talking about. Because, by the way, make no mistake about it, there's other messages today. There's other gospels being preached today. There is a gospel of religion that says, just put in more effort. Try harder to turn over a new leaf and be a better person. There's a gospel of materialism that says your worth is determined by what you have. The more you gain, that's what's important. There's a message today we'll call it liberalism, that says, I'm okay, you're okay, God accepts all of us. There is no such thing as sin. We're all going to go to heaven if such a place even exists. And there's a gospel of our society which tells us life is short, do what you want. Just do as you please, you know? Life is short. But this message, the message that Paul was preaching, was saying, listen, we do sin. And if we die in our sins, we're going to be separated from God. Because that's what sin is, separation from God. That's what hell is, separation from God. God doesn't want anyone to choose hell. He wants us to choose his salvation. But God loves you. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, rose from the dead, so that if we place our faith in him, we can be eternally saved. Question for us this morning is, what message are we trusting in? What message, what gospel are you trusting in this morning? Only this good news about Jesus has power to save. Next, let's look at the purpose of this good news. For he says, I'm not ashamed of this good news of Christ. It's the power of God working, saving. Now, some people, again, don't like that we would suggest that they needed saving. You know, what are you talking about salvation for? You're saying there's something wrong with me? You know, they don't like the word saving, or being saved, or salvation. But listen, it's not our turn. It's God's turn. And there's probably no better way to describe what God offers us through the sacrifice of his Son than the word salvation. I think it's the perfect word. I know what words described me at one time. Words like lost. Words like empty, something missing. Words like sinner. Words like, you know, I need something. Those words perfectly describe where I was at. And nothing better describes meeting those needs than the word salvation. The good news is the power of God saving people through Jesus Christ. And through Christ, we are saved from sin, we're saved from Satan, we're saved from judgment, we're saved from wrath, we're saved from spiritual death, also known as hell, through this good news. So why did God do it? Why did God go through such lengths, giving up his son to die for our sins? Well, the primary answer to that is that because he loves us. But there's so much more than that as well. God's power and God's purpose in giving us the good news message is salvation. The word salvation is an important word. It means safety. It means preservation. It means deliverance. It carries the idea of being rescued from all harm. And in this case, it's being rescued from the harm and danger of being separated from God. The primary purpose of the good news is salvation. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy being saved. I am thankful that God made a way for me to be forgiven and to know him. I don't know where I'd be without it. I don't know where I would be without it. I got an idea where I'd be without it, but I don't know for sure. Next, let me look at the plan of this good news. It says, I'm not ashamed of the good news because it's good news about Christ. I'm not ashamed of this good news because it's the power of God working. I'm not ashamed of this good news because it's salvation. And then he talks about how it happens. It's for everyone who believes. Isn't that great? It's for everyone who believes. Verse 16 tells us exactly how the good news message of salvation is activated. It's for everyone who believes. He makes it perfectly clear that biblical salvation is not complicated. It doesn't have something to do with religious ceremonies or rituals or exercises. Because I used to think that that's what saved me. You know, I was baptized as an infant. My parents weren't there, just my godparents. Because the Italians believed that if your parents went to your christening, that was bad luck. So the parents didn't go, just your godparents took you to church to get baptized as an infant. I was baptized as an infant, and then at around age 13, I made my confirmation. At both of those events, I had no idea what I was doing. I'm not blaming the church. I'm sure the church taught me what I was doing in those events. But I didn't get it. You know, to me, I was like, hey, this is going to be a day for me. Everyone's going to pay attention to me. I'm going to be the guy for the day. And I'm even going to make a few bucks on it. That's all I knew. I didn't get it. Maybe I should have got it. Maybe I just wasn't ready to get it. I understand now that I was confirming at age 13 what my godparents said for me when I was being baptized by them. Not by them, but through the priest, through them. And I used to think, well, because I did those religious things, I'm okay with God. Everything's okay. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I did all the religious things I was supposed to do. Then I also thought, like, you know, well, I'm not a bad guy, you know. I mean, I do some things that I probably shouldn't do, but I'm not that bad of a guy. I didn't kill anybody, you know. If anything happens to me, I'd be in heaven. I'm a pretty good guy. Well, you know, it's so we think about the worst person that's ever lived. And for most people, that's Hitler, right? Adolf Hitler, worst person ever lived. Try to think of the best person that ever lived. And maybe you think of Mother Teresa. And you say, well, I'm no Hitler. I know I'm no Mother Teresa, but I'm no Hitler. But guess what? That means you're someplace in between. And if you're someplace in between, that ain't good. That means you still did things wrong. But thank God, it's not about religious rituals. It's not about what I can't earn it. I can't be good enough to get it. Salvation is a product of faith, and faith alone. That's good news. That's real good news. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. God saved you by His grace when you believe. Not when you work harder, not when you were religious. His grace, His saving grace, came to you when you believe this message. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done. So not one of us can boast about it. You know, we like to do things for ourselves, right? We want to know that, you know, I've got a part in the things that happen in my life. I'll make it happen. However, when it comes to this matter of salvation, you can't make it happen. You have no part in it. It is God, all God, all the way. You just have to accept it by faith. What do I mean by faith? Believe, trust in, put all your trust in, put all your dependence on. Fully trust. That's what faith is. And salvation comes to the person who is willing to simply receive this message of Christ by faith. Let's look at a few scriptures where Jesus says this. John chapter 6, verse 47. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Jesus always did tell the truth. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. In John 3, 16. And 16 and 17? No, I think they're 16. For God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes will not perish, but have eternal life. In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God, believe in my message, believe in the God who sent me, have eternal life. They never, this is great, listen to this, they will never be condemned for their sins. But they have already passed from death into life. Why? Because they believe in me. They believe in my message. And they will never be condemned because of that. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I'm thankful that the Lord, in this message of good news, He made it inexpensive and easy to believe. Well, it was expensive for Jesus. But it was easier for me. My question to you is this. What are you trusting in this morning? What are you trusting in this morning? Now, another thing that I want you to see in this verse from chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16, is that this great saving message of the good news is for everyone who believes. Everyone. Every single person in the world. No one is beyond the reach of this good news message of grace. Everyone who believes. Notice again the words of our Savior in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. To anyone, let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires to drink freely from the water of life. Let anyone who sees their need to come. Anyone. In John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. The pledge of the good news is that anyone who hears the message knows that they need the cure can be saved by God's precious grace. To the Jew first, it says, and then also to the Gentile. Does that bother you, that statement? To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Don't let it bother you. God didn't give the good news to the Jews first as a priority. He gave it to the Jews first in reference to time. The main point is this. Jew and non-Jew. Salvation is available. Every person on the face of God's green earth, as they say. Regardless of race, regardless of social standing, regardless of education, regardless of abilities, regardless of how good or bad you think you were in the past, God's gift of grace is for everyone who believes. Nothing can prevent anyone from being saved if they want to be saved. Thank God. Because I tell you something, if there was some restrictions on this, I don't think I would have made it. I don't know if I would have made it. I might have been left out. I'm so glad that it is a gift by faith that's absolutely free. We come now to verse 17. The whole theme of Romans. The product of this gospel. What does it produce? It says this. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish, as we already said, by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This good news is about how God makes us right. We can't be righteous. We can't be perfect. Jesus is righteous, and His righteousness has been applied to our account. Isn't that cool? Imagine if someone tomorrow wanted to put some money into your account. You didn't earn it. They just wanted to give it to you. And you said, all right, thank you. He makes us right with Himself. This good news that we put our faith in produces righteousness. Something that we cannot do for ourselves. We have two problems. Two problems. First, we think that we are basically good people and therefore we're acceptable to God. Second problem is that we're absolutely wrong about number one. We aren't basically good people. We cannot produce our own righteousness by our own self-will, by our own works. We can't do it. However, faith in the good news message. Jesus believed on in our hearts. God takes sinners and declares them righteous by no effort of our own. Here's how God's power works. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Don't you realize, he's talking to the church in Corinth, which is, they were people who were doing some pretty bad things. You'll see a list of them here. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Anyone never do anything wrong? Right? No way. Whoever's done something wrong You can't inherit. I'll never forget the first Bible study I was ever invited to, which I really didn't want to go to, but I needed to get somebody off my back, so I went. And they were studying John 3:16. And John chapter 3. And Jesus says that unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now I'm thinking, you know, I'm a good guy. I was religious. You know, I did all the religious stuff. I should go to heaven. Then I read this and it said, if you are not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. And I thought, uh-oh. I don't know what that is, but I ain't that. So I'm in trouble. I got to find out what that is and I got to get that. And born again, of course, is just meaning born spiritually. Born a second time. Born physically, you need to be born spiritually. Don't you realize that those who do wrong cannot inherit the kingdom of God? That kind of blew my whole theory. Don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, practice homosexuality, they're thieves, they're greedy people, they're drunkards, or they are abusive, or they cheat people. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Then he says to the church in Corinth, to the Corinthians who are living that way, he said, some of you were once like that. But you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God. How? By calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The good news is that by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you could be cleansed. You could be made holy. You could be made right with God. You could be made righteous. Notice what it says. You were like that. They were changed. These people were transformed. They were like that. They weren't like that anymore. They were changed. They were a new creation. Another good way of describing what salvation is. They're a new creation. Simply stated, everything you look for in religion, peace with God, be accepted by God, be right with God, have a right relationship with God, etc. And everything you look for in life, love, security, significance, wholeness, fullness, peace, purpose, meaning, these things all are given to the believer who puts their faith in the message of Christ. A message worth believing. It's good news. And the believer's life is one of faith. Faith in God. And he concludes with that when he says, faith is the way of life for the child of God. If you started by faith, don't start now trying to be right with God by being religious. Don't start now trying to be right with God by how good you are. I'm not saying don't be religious. I'm not saying don't do good things. I'm saying that's not how you're going to stay right with God. Got to keep that faith, keep faith alone. So are you trusting in the good news of salvation alone? Are you sharing this message like Paul did? Or are you ashamed of this good news? If the same message that was able to save then is able to save now. The same message that had power in Paul's day has power today. And all you need to do to see that good news work in power, believe it and share it. And God will do the rest. We're going to pray. I had a song I was going to play. You want to do that, Frankie? All right, well, let's listen to this song, because this is really my testimony. I hope you don't mind if I keep you about another 4 or 5 minutes to listen to the song, and then I'll close in prayer.
Seems like all I can.
Let's stand together. I want to pray for you before you go. I don't know how you stop from shouting now. What is incredible God has done. All right. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for working in the life of Paul, giving him the inspiration to write such a great description of what you have done. It's good news. Power. Power to save. Power to save everyone. And all we have to do is believe. Our faith is still in you, Lord. Our hope is still in you, Lord. You know you're not done with us yet. But I am indeed. Only because of what you've done. Lord, I pray that as we leave here today, we would be so blessed by this gift that you have offered to us that we have accepted by faith. Not only would we want to live for you this week, be a testimony by our lives, but Lord, we look for opportunities to tell someone else, I've got some good news for you. There's hope. We would share that good news with others. I thank you, Lord, for the time we've had together. I pray your blessing upon everyone who's here, every family that they represent. And you would give to them your supernatural love and grace and power. And Lord, we will thank you forever and forever. We love you, Lord. Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Lord, bless you. Have a great week.